Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the West Side of Home podcast. This is Dave Steimers with you. Today, I want to geek out a little bit. I want to do some nerdy Bible things because on Sundays, we've been working through the book of Jonah in our teaching series. And Jonah is a crazy book. It's a really, really good story, written really well, but is potentially very frustrating for a lot of us when it comes to the questions that we have and the way that we interpret it. I think one of the main reasons is because the book of Jonah leaves so many of our natural questions completely unanswered. So on Sunday, I was talking about the most sensational part of this story, the part of the story that even if you don't know much about this story, you're most likely to know about, which is when Jonah gets swallowed by a big fish and then later spit back up. And that just raises a ton of questions, doesn't it? Like, what are we supposed to do with that? How are we supposed to think about it, approach it? And one of the things that I said to you, and some people might get uncomfortable with this, but try not to get too defensive, that people who believe the Bible is inspired by God and given to us, approach this book in very different ways. Some think that this is the record of a historical event that literally happened. And some people think this is more written like a parable. It teaches us deep truth, but we're not supposed to expect it to be historical. Again, if it makes you really uncomfortable that there's good Christian Bible-believing people on either side of that issue, I think the posture we should probably take is what can we learn from people who have a different opinion? And we can have our own opinions, and we can debate, but we don't have to make a big fight about it. And we can sort out some of the issues that are important to us. But here's what's frustrating, again, for a lot of us, is that we know so little about the book of Jonah. And probably that's on purpose from the author. So if you read scholarship on Jonah, you read commentaries and stuff that people who've studied this their entire lives write about, and you kind of ask a bunch of questions, you find out that they all argue their position, but a lot of the times they say, we don't know for sure, or this is highly debatable. We don't know when the book of Jonah was written. The span of time that scholarship kind of says it could be written from is like 500 years. So we know that Jonah, son of Amittai, who's the main character, was an actual historic person. And we read about him in 2 Kings. And so we know that he lived, because in 2 Kings, it tells us the king that was reigning in the time that he was alive and that he was a prophet. So we know that he was alive and active in the first half of the 8th century BCE, before the Common Era. So 750 to 800 years before Jesus shows up. So the story is set in that part of the time period, 8th century BCE. But we don't know when it was written. It could have been written right then. But the next time that we really see it in history where it's mentioned is like 500 years later. So that we know that had to be written by the time that we read about the story from another literary source that was circling in the time. But that's way up in like the 3rd century BCE. And so there's like a 500-year gap where it's like it could have been the time of actual historical Jonah, or it could have been written sometime in the next 500 years afterwards. That's a huge time span, which means you're wondering, because normally people write these kind of stories for a purpose, and they're dealing with issues that have to do with whatever they're dealing with at the time. And so you think, well, was this in the 8th century when they were actually dealing with the Assyrians who were going to come and sack Jerusalem? Or was it a couple centuries later when the Babylonians, their enemies, were coming after them? Or was it later when the Greeks were coming after them? Or was it in the middle of some of these time periods during a time period of peace? We don't know. And so people guess, maybe it was this time, maybe it was that time, but most scholars will say, but in the end, we don't really know. We don't know who wrote it. Some people think, well, Jonah wrote it, but it never says who wrote it. It never says that Jonah wrote it. And it really doesn't depict Jonah in a good light all the way through. We'll continue to see that in the last couple of chapters if you follow along the next two Sundays. Some people think it's very unlikely that Jonah would write this and put himself in such a negative light and not really resolve the tension of that negativity at the end of the book. If you read it, it's kind of left on a cliffhanger. Jonah really doesn't, quote unquote, come around. But then, if it wasn't Jonah, who was it? And who would have known to write these things? Who would have known the details if they historically happened? Or who would have written them if they didn't historically happen? It doesn't mention who the king is. It mentions the king of the Ninevites, king of Nineveh, which again, if you look in books like the Kings, which is more historical books proper in terms of genre in the Bible, there's lists of like this king was reigning and this, and that's part of how we date things is we look at these notes that say this king was reigning and they reigned for this long and then so-and-so became king. And so if you want people to know kind of the historical context, that's one of the ways they would do it. And so it almost seems like it's intentional that the author here, it mentions a king of Nineveh, although Nineveh didn't have a king. And so that's a little weird too, because it would have been a king of Assyria, but also it doesn't mention who that king is, which would have given us more context. And so there's all kinds of questions that go unanswered. Part of this is because we have very different questions than ancient people would have had, because we are products of the Enlightenment. We're products of modernity, the scientific age. We're product of all the context and how we were trained and educated here as we sit in 2021. But the people who wrote the Bible, the authors in the Bible, they didn't follow our rules because our rules hadn't been invented yet. And so they had a whole different way of doing things and thinking of things. They had different questions that they were trying to answer and different ways of doing that. And so we have all these rules of what it's like to write history. When you write history, here's how you have to write it. And so when we're writing history, we give certain details and context and facts and all kinds of stuff. Same thing with science. You know, you come to this fish that swallows Jonah. And most of us sit there and go, okay, well, what kind of fish was it? How did Jonah breathe? Why didn't the fish digest him? Do fish have acid in their stomach? If so, did that affect Jonah? What happened? What kind of shape was he in physically when he got spit out? What did Jonah eat while he was in the fish? Did he eat what the fish had eaten? And the author, I mean, these aren't even the questions. There's not even an attempt to answer or go into it. It is not what the author wants us to focus on. It's not what the author wants us to try and answer. Now, we can't get rid of the fact that we have all these questions. And so we start to try and answer them and we make guesses and we can spend some time debating and doing studies and all kinds of stuff to try and come up with the best possible answer of how we interpret this text and how we would answer some of those questions. But we can't get so stuck on those questions, our questions, that we miss the questions that the author wants us to ask and how they want us to think through it, because then we miss the point of the entire story. So again, we can't completely get rid of the tension and say, well, I don't have any of these questions. I'll just ignore my questions. Well, they're good questions. And of course, we're going to have these questions. And we should probably spend some amount of time thinking through them and deciding which way we think is best to interpret this. And we do it together and we do it by reading people who are smarter than us and taking evidence into consideration and all that kind of stuff. But then we need to make sure that we also focus on the details that the author has given us, because they've written something to convey certain truths to us, certain lessons to us. They want us to think about certain things and think through certain things. And so even if we might get frustrated and stuck on some of the answers that we wish we were given and we weren't, we need to take some time to make sure we look at the details that we have been given and try to think through the point that the author is trying to get us to focus on, or points. There's probably a whole number of them. So if you read through Jonah, there's a number of themes. And again, listen or watch to our Sundays, and hopefully we're drawing out a lot of that and doing a pretty good deep dive on what Jonah, the book of Jonah, is trying to convey to us. Whole bunch of themes. One of them is the contrasts. So many contrasting languages. You see it all the time if you're looking for it. You know, language of two opposite things that really hopefully help certain aspects to really stand out to us. So up and down, we've talked about, is a big one. Jonah's supposed to go to up to Nineveh, and he goes down to Tarshish, down into the boat, eventually down into the sea, down, 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 until God raises him up again, and he goes up to where he's supposed to go. We see a big contrast between land and sea. He's on the land, then he gets thrown in the sea. To develop that further, life and death. Life is on the land, death is in the sea. You know, sea is chaos. Sea is, I'm out of control. Sea is, I can't live here. Land is, I'm alive. I'm actually in God's presence. And that's a big contrast, right? Sheol is under the sea. It's the place of the dead. It is away from God's presence. The holy temple is referenced in chapter 2, on the land, where we know we would expect an Israelite to find the presence of God and look for the presence of God. So one of the other big contrasts is between Jonah and basically all the other characters in this story. Everybody that you think would run away from God or not have interest in God does the opposite. They end up coming to God, accepting God. The Ninevites are a big example. We'll get there on Sunday. These are violent, anti-Israelite God people, but they turn and repent. The sailors in chapter 1, these are obviously pagan people, which means they all, you know, we see this in chapter 1, they all have different gods that they call out to. But when it comes down to it, and Jonah tells them, oh, I'm an Israelite, Yahweh is my God, and this is why there's a big storm, and they turn and they make vows to Yahweh. They worship Yahweh. And they come to him and they have this kind of moment. Almost, it looks like a conversion. But Jonah, the one person that you expect should always be running towards God, listening to God, obeying God, he's the prophet. And that's the whole thing of a prophet. They hear God's voice and then they tell people what God said. They relay the message. And most prophets, that's exactly what you expect. God told me to do this, so I went up and I did that. God told me to say this, so I said it. That's their entire reason for being. But Jonah, the one that we would expect not to run away from God, is the one that runs to God. So we have a number of questions left unanswered to our modern or postmodern historical scientific minds, but we have so many questions and answers that we are encouraged to think through. And one of them, when we think of that contrast, is to start asking ourselves, are we running to God or from God? Do we want to accept who God is, live in him, or are we running away from him? Here's the amazing thing, and Jonah doesn't like this, by the way, which is crazy, but we'll talk about this on Sunday, so come back on Sunday, listen again, or watch again. But here's actually why Jonah's running away, which in my mind is exactly why you shouldn't want to run away, but again, we'll sort that out on Sunday. Here's what he thinks of God. And it's a quote from another place in scripture. But he says, I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Again, I'll tell you why on Sunday and the next Sunday that Jonah doesn't like this and part of the story. But what we're supposed to take from this is, wait, God is not primarily angry at us. He's slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He's merciful in turning us away from trouble. This is God. This is ultimate reality. The one Yahweh who said his name, he is who he is. He is. It's truth. It's axiomatic. It's the way things are. And what is the way things are? That divine reality, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, relenting from disaster. Makes you think, as we run from God, is it because we're running from a God that we have unfair depictions of? God that we think is mad at us, a God that we think wants to punish us, a God that we think doesn't have what's best for us at heart? And maybe the reason we're running is because we have to go back, stop, and change our perception of God, because the safest and most joy-filled place is right in the presence of that God. And so as we continue to think about our tendencies to escape life, to escape our stresses and our pains and our struggles, maybe a great place to start is just hearing that message from the book of Jonah. That if we're running, it's time to stop running and to know that we're safe, we're secure. There is a God who is slow to anger, abounding in love and mercy, and he wants to bring us back from trouble, not put us into it. And so I hope that's encouraging to you. I hope some of those questions and answers that can be frustrating and maybe you don't have full satisfaction in, you'll take some time to think about them and wrestle with them, maybe do some reading over them, but then come to find the answers to the question that this book really wants us to ask and rest in. God bless you this week.